Shabbos Daf Ayin Beis. Ula says, according to the opinion that a carbon asham, which is a carbon that you bring for a sin, so according to the opinion that an asham doesn't need prior awareness of the sin to be effective, meaning if you didn't know what you did was a sin, meaning let's say you did two averos and you knew about one of them and you brought an asham for that one avera, and you don't need to know about the second avera, it's going to atone for that as well. So according to that opinion, if someone accidentally had relations with one betrothed slave woman multiple times, five times for instance, and you only knew about one of them and brought an asham for one, that one asham is going to cover all of the averos, even if the person realized in the middle of each sin, oh, what I just did was a sin, and then he accidentally went ahead and did it again and again. Rav Nuna says, okay, well, based on that, if you had relations with this woman, and then you designated that you're going to bring a carbon asham for the first sin, and then you said, wait, let me wait until I do it again before I bring this carbon asham, what, then only one asham is going to cover that? You can just purposely sin a second time and only need one asham? No, certainly you should need two carbonot for that situation. And Ula says, I'm not talking about where you designated the asham in the middle. I'm just talking about where you realized, but you didn't designate an asham. Certainly in that case, yeah, I'd agree with you. Rav Dimi says, according to the opinion that you do need prior knowledge of the sin for the asham, right? You need to know about every single sin you're bringing the carbon for. If you'd accidentally had relations with a betrothed slave woman multiple times, like five times, then you'd have to bring one carbon asham for every single avera. Abai says, however, by the chatas, he's going to question this, by the chatas, you definitely need to have prior knowledge of the sin, right? You need to know what you're bringing the carbon chatas for. And in that case, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish still argue over whether or not becoming aware of the sin separates the sins to need a different chatas or not. Meaning, when, let's say you do two sins, if you became aware in the middle of the first and the second sin that your first thing, you made a mistake and did an avera, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish are arguing in that case. However, here, Reish Lakish himself would even agree that one asham is going to be good for every single sin that you did, even if, meaning you don't even need the prior knowledge, right? Reish Lakish would say that even if you didn't have the prior knowledge, in this case, Reish Lakish would still say that the asham is going to be good. So Rav Dimi was silent. And that's why Abai says, well, maybe you're talking about a case where you sinned after you designated the carbon asham, right? You did the first avera, then you designated a carbon asham for that first avera, and then you went and did a second one. Then even in that case, Reish Lakish would say, yeah, you need a separate carbon, and you're going like, you need separate carbonos, and you're going like Rav Nuna, who says that the asham is not going to atone for a sin after you've already designated an asham for one of the sins. And Rav Dimi said, yeah, that's the case I'm talking about. You're right. So Ravin says, everyone agrees that one asham is going to work for multiple relations with the betrothed slave woman when you became aware of each sin in the middle, like Ula, right? You did the first one, you became aware that the first time was a sin, then you accidentally did a second time, and then you became aware that was a sin, then you did a third time, etc. According to Ula, everyone, both Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan, would agree that one asham is good enough. And everyone's going to agree that you're going to need a separate carbon asham if you designated an asham for the first sin before doing the second one, like Rav Amnuna, right? But they argue in this case, according to the opinion that you need to have prior knowledge of the sin for the asham to work, right? You need to know which sins you're atoning for the asham to be effective. Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish here would argue, Rabbi Yochanan would say that becoming aware of each sin is going to separate them to require different carbon. Meaning you did the first one, realized you made a mistake. Now if you do it again, you're going to need a separate asham. Reish Lakish is going to say, no, only the designation of the asham is what's going to separate them to require multiple carbonos. Meaning you do the first one, then you designate a sin, you designate an asham for that first sin, then you do it a second time. Reish Lakish would say you need to have two carbonos. So now getting into a little bit of a new thing. If you intended to lift something which was detached from the ground, let's say you were going to pick up a knife that was in kind of like, on the ground, and you ended up cutting something which was attached. You cut off a vegetable or a plant or something like that. When, as you're bringing up the knife, you're going to be putter because you had no intention to cut that thing. However, if you intended to cut something which was detached from the ground, right, something which is allowed, but you ended up cutting something which is attached from the ground, Rava is going to say you're putter because you never intended to do an iser form of cutting. Abai is going to say no, you're chayav because you intended some form of cutting. You intended to cut. And even though you cut the wrong thing and you didn't intend to cut that, you are going to be chayav for that. Rava says, what's my proof? It's this brisa that says Shabbos is stricter than other mitzvos because if you did two isurim by accident on Shabbos, you'd have to bring two karbanos, two different chatas for each malacha. However, that's not true by other mitzvos, that you can only bring one karban chatas, so Shabbos is stricter. And other mitzvos are stricter than Shabbos because by the other mitzvos, if you did something by accident without any intention, you're going to have to bring a carbon chatas, which is not true by Shabbos. And Rav is saying here, by Shabbos, Shabbos is more lenient than the other mitzvos, because if you did something by accident with no intention at all, like in our case that Rav was talking about, where you intended to cut something detached, but you cut something attached, then we clearly see from this brisa that you don't have to bring a carbon chatas for that, that you're putter. So now we're going to go through that brisa. So what is the case of two malachos on Shabbos that would require two different karbanos, two different, you'd have to bring a chatas for each. We're going to try to say that's a case where you did reaping and grinding and you are unaware that they're malacha. That's when you have to bring a separate karban for each malacha. However, the same is going to be true by other mitzvahs. You can't say that Shabbos is stricter because by other mitzvahs, if you ate chalev and you ate blood, you would need two karbanos. You can't say it's any stricter than other mitzvahs. So maybe let's look at it from the other side. What's a case of other mitzvahs where you'd only have to bring one chatas for two Easterim by the other case of other mitzvahs, looking at it from the other side? That's where if you did two Isurim, you ate chalev, and then you ate chalev again, you'd only have to bring one karban chatas. So we see that that's a case of two Isurim with one chatas. But the same exact thing is true by Shabbos, that if you reaped, and then you reaped again, you'd only bring one karban chatas for the same Isur. So we see again, Shabbos is not any stricter. So that's why we're going to say, no, really, the Shabbos thing is a case where you reaped and then you did grinding. That's when you'd only have to bring, that's when you'd bring one karban chatas for each aver. You'd have to bring two. This is not true, however, by avodah zarah. By the other mitzvah, I was talking about avodah zarah. Like Rav Ami says, if you slaughtered an animal, burnt it, and poured a libation offering accidentally for an idol, right? You did all these three different acts of avodah zarah. Rav Ami says you only bring one karban chatas. So we see that Shabbos is stricter. However, the end of the braisa says that there are other mitzvos are stricter than Shabbos, because by other mitzvos, if you have no intent, you're gonna bring a karban chata. So what's the case of avodah zara? Right, we're gonna assume that the Bryce is all talking about one case of avodah zara. So what's the case of avodah zara where it was an accident and you had no intent for avodah zara and you would still have to bring a karban chata, which is, we're gonna say, is different than Shabbos. So what's that case? Maybe we're gonna say it's where you thought that a certain building was a shul and you bowed down to it, right? That was an accident and you didn't have intention for doing avodah zara. However, in that case, that can't be, because you'd be putter there, because you had the intention to serve Hashem. You weren't planning to do avodah zarah, so that's not a case where you'd have to bring a chatas. So what's a case where, with avodah zarah, where it was an accident, you had no intent, and you have to bring a chatas? Maybe it's where you saw a statue of a king and you bowed to it. However, that doesn't make sense, because if you accepted the king as a deity, then you're just purposely, you're amazed, you're purposely doing avodah zarah, and you can't bring a karban chatas, because it wasn't an accident. And if it's where you didn't say the king was a deity, and you're just bowing to it, then you're going to be putzer, because you're not doing avodah zarah. So again, we're trying to find a case where you accidentally did avodah zarah with no intention for avodah zarah, and you're going to have to bring a karban chatas. So maybe it's where you bowed to an idol because you loved or feared someone, and you thought that in this case you didn't have the intention to do avodah zarah, so you thought it was okay to bow down to this idol. But that doesn't make, but that's not true, because this is not perfect, because this makes sense according to Abaye, who says that in that case where you bowed to an idol without the intention of doing avodah zarah, then you'd have to bring a chatas. So that's fine according to Abaye. However, what about Rava, who says that you're going to be putter? That's not a good example, because in this case, according to Rava, you would not bring a karban chatas. So that's why we're going to say maybe the case is where someone thought that doing avodah zarah was okay, like a child that was captured by non-Jews. He didn't know that what he was doing was avodah zarah. He thought it was okay. But then the problem with that is that it says that this is not so by Shabbos. In the case of someone who thought that avodah zarah was okay, they're going to bring a chatas. The Braisa says that's not true by Shabbos. However, if you had no idea about Shabbos, you didn't know what you were doing was malacha, and you do many malachos on many Shabbos, are we going to say that you're totally putter? No, of course not, because we saw before, Rava only asked Rav Nachman. If someone had no idea of Shabbos, right? They had no clue, and they do a lot of malacha, do they only need to bring one karban chatas for everything, or do they need to bring a karban chatas for every malacha, for every Shabbos they violated, something like that? But they never say that you're totally putter. No, so even by Shabbos, where you didn't know what you were doing was malacha, you'd still have to bring a karban chatas. So you can't say it's any difference. That's all we're going to say. The Brice is not all talking about one case. The first section is talking about a Shabbos is stricter than avodah zarah. Like we had said that by avodah zarah, you could do many different acts and only have one karban chatas. However, the second section, which says that there are mitzvos that are stricter than Shabbos, is not talking about avodah zarah. It's talking about different mitzvos. The entire braisa is not only talking about avodah zarah. So what is the case of an accident where you had no intention by the other mitzvos that you'd have to bring a karban chatas for? So that's where you thought that what you were eating was a different fat, but really it turned out it was chalev. So even though it was an accident, you had no intention to eat chalev, you'd still have to bring a karban chatas. And this is unlike by Shabbos, when you intended to cut something, but you intended to cut something which was detached from the ground, but you ended up cutting something that was attached. In that case, you're going to be putter. And this is what Rav is bringing the Braisa in for, that you intended to cut something detached, but you accidentally and without intent cut something which is attached. And Rav is showing here from this Braisa, we see your putter. So how would Abaye, who says that in the case of cutting something which is detached, but you accidentally ended up cutting something which is attached, Abaye says you are chayav. So Abaye would have to explain the Braisa as talking about a case where you thought that the substance in your mouth was just saliva and you ended up swallowing it, but it turned out that that was chalev, which was like in a liquid form, and you ended up, you didn't eat the chalev, but you ended up swallowing the chalev. And there you're going to be chayev. However, by Shabbos, what's the case in Shabbos where you'd be putter for a similar action? Where you intended to lift something that was detached, you wanted to pick up a knife, but you ended up cutting something which was attached to the ground. And Abaye is going to say, in that case, yeah, I agree that you're putter. But in the case that me and Rava were arguing about, where you intended to cut something which was detached from the ground, but you accidentally cut something which was attached, I'm going to say there that you have to bring a carbon chatas, and that is how Abaye understands this brisa and refutes the proof of Rava Shkayach.